Hey, first time on the show, Matt Stahl from AL.com. Matt, I know you're busy. You're down there at Hoover, man. Thank you for making the time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, fresh and just straight from the glory of the Hoover Met right now. It's Oklahoma and Kentucky going on, but I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, and I saw that you're calling it FOIA season. So, I mean, that is specifically why I wanted to have you on, because I stumbled across your article, SEC football recruiting budgets for 2024. And I was pretty stunned to see Tennessee top the list. What made you want to do this? And what stood out to you about SEC recruiting budgets?
So it's a big, it's sort of a project I do to get through the off season kind of content desert here, where, you know, every year right around kind of mid January, I'll go around and send like freedom of information requests to every public SEC school and get all their financial reports that they have to send the NCAA for each fiscal year. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's categorized into a bunch of stuff. Recruiting spending on football's one of them. Football's one of a few sports they break out separately on there. So yeah, I just, you know, I think it's a interesting thing every year. And yeah, Tennessee topping the list this year, obviously not afraid to spend money.
Yeah. And just to clarify for some people that maybe don't understand what a FOIA request is and all, not that you have to go deep into that, but this is not Matt Stahl covers Alabama. So he hates Tennessee. So he's trying to make Tennessee look bad. This is actually the numbers that they have to report. I mean, this is all legitimate. You're not making up any of these figures.
No. Yeah. They have, except Vanderbilt, obviously they're not like a government entity like the other public schools are. So they're not subject to open records laws where you can kind of request a bunch of stuff out of them. But it's all legit, all reported by the schools to the NCAA. They have to do it for each fiscal year, which runs from July 1st to June 30th. So yeah, that's it. The biggest pain in the ass, I guess, is putting it all together kind of into a spreadsheet and building the charts. But yeah, it's just you send some requests into each of the schools and kind of wait around for a while.
Any surprise that Texas came in at number six in the SEC, just $3.5 million? I mean, it's safe to assume this. We know this doesn't count NIL, but I think it's safe to assume Texas saved all their money for NIL.
Yeah, well, it could be a few things. One being just geography being one of them. Like, if you think about Tennessee, like, you're not really in a major recruiting market. Like, obviously, Nashville's got a lot better on recruiting than it has been. Charlotte, I think, has sort of taken steps up. But, like, if you're going to get really good recruits at Tennessee, you sort of have to go all over the place. And that can get expensive, you know, running airplanes and such. I think sort of Philip Fulmer laid that blueprint, right? Like, he went a lot of places. He'd go to Atlanta, he'd go wherever to go get prospects. I mean, whereas if you're Texas, maybe you save some money on travel just because of so many of the guys you're probably recruiting are in Texas. You know, it's I don't know, it's tricky to know because they don't like hand you their recruiting budget and see what it is, but you know, it could be things like that, and it varies class to class too.
Right. And so obviously you cover Alabama for AL.com, but so I got to ask you, there's a huge discrepancy, and again, you cover Alabama, not as in the weeds with Auburn. But Alabama, $5.2 million, Auburn, $1.4 million. Why do you think there's such a discrepancy? Do you think that is, I'm sure you've seen it, some people have called out Kalen DeBoer for maybe not taking a more of a national approach while Hugh Freeze stays local. Do you think that's a big part of that?
Well, that's tricky to nail down class to class, just because the way the fiscal year falls, like it started July 1st, 23, and goes to June 24, so it kind of overlaps recruiting classes. Yeah, it could be a lot of things. Obviously, like, you can see kind of across categories, Alabama spends more than Auburn does, sort of across the board, and on multiple sports, but like a lot on football. And it's because Alabama brings in a lot more revenue on football, too, than Auburn does. So I don't know that it's necessarily indicative of anybody like not trying hard, but I mean, certainly I'm sure some plane rides to California get expensive in there. And also, like, Alabama had to hold together a recruiting class there, right? Like, Kalen just sort of had to put it together really on the fly there. What was kind of the end of that fiscal year. So yeah, it there are some things I'm sure everybody saw. It was more of a kind of West Coast-based class for Alabama that could get expensive. And then, I mean, across the board, Alabama spent a lot more money on football this past fiscal year than it had ever. Like, I think they wound up technically losing money on athletics this last fiscal year. And it was just because there were so many one-time expenses due to, you know, having to bring in a whole new coaching staff kind of mid-cycle.
Right. Well, that makes sense then why Greg Byrne is sitting on the side of the road with his can asking for change. What other thing? I thought this was hilarious. So go check it out, AL.com. I mean, Matt's done all kinds of research on these budgets and what teams are spending. But one that was just hilarious was the severance pay. And Texas A&M, of course, lead the way with $27 million and Auburn, a whopping $10 million is second in the SEC. But how much fun was it to look up the severance pay?
Oh, I knew that was going to be fun. You know, I did it last year and Auburn was blowing everybody out of the water because they're paying Harsin and still paying on Gus. But yeah, as soon as I like hit the button to make the chart happen in the program I used, it just immediately started laughing. Just the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm kind of half kidding, but not really. I did want to ask your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer, who famously said, I can't remember where he said it. It was a couple months ago, but basically we got to make college football fair again. How did you take that? How did your readership take that?
I think readership probably agrees in their head until you think, like, when has college football ever been fair? Like, come on, when was the last time a new school won a national championship, right? Like, it was either Florida or Florida State in the 90s. Like, it's never been a fair game. It will never be a fair game. Alabama should not want it to be a fair game. They've historically sat near the top of it just due to, like, sheer want to and good coaches. Like, I don't know. I never see it really becoming a fair game. Like, you can even put a salary cap in, it doesn't matter. They had a $0 salary cap forever, you
know? Right.
It's gonna be what it's gonna be. There's always gonna be haves and have nots, and you know, I think Alabama would like for Kalen DeBoer to, you know, continue to have them be a have and not a have not.
Yeah. I really wanted to ask you about Ty Simpson too, coming out of the spring. Certainly seems like unless something, I don't want to say goes wrong, but maybe one of the other quarterbacks progresses tremendously over the summer, it's going to be Ty Simpson, it looks like, to be starting quarterback. What do you envision the type of season he has in terms of maybe by the end of the season? Where do you think, if you had to project, Ty Simpson would grade among all the SEC starting quarterbacks?
I think he'll be really solid should he, like, keep it up and win the job. Obviously, we were all kind of stunned. Still a little new at Alabama, not covering like the Nick Saban regime, where we would not have heard at the end of spring practice who was leading the quarterback battle. But no, I think Ty can make every throw they want. I think he's not Jalen Milroe athletically, but he can move around a good bit, keep plays going. And I think he's going to have a significantly improved wide receiver group. Like, last year you sort of had Jeremy Bernard and obviously Ryan Williams, they're at the top of it. But this year, I mean, they bring in Isaiah Horton. They have some really talented other freshmen. Lotsier Brooks is a name everybody, I think, has kind of heard at this point. But, like, he's going to have, I think, a really, really solid team around him. Jam Miller's experienced at running back. So, yeah, if everything goes right and, you know, offensive line pulls itself together here. I mean, the offensive line wasn't like bad last season, but it seems like they should gel a little bit more just in year two under DeBoer, figuring out what they're doing. Like, I think he could have a really, really solid season.
Mm-hmm. I did want to ask you, exiting spring, what is the biggest question mark you have about this football team? Is it the quarterback position, or is there something else that maybe is a bigger question?
No, for me, and it's the same thing that was a problem last year, and it's not going to get answered until, like, the going gets tough in a game. It's, like, the consistency. You know, the thing Nick Saban always did really well, like, his teams took care of business against teams they needed to take care of business against. Like, you did not see Nick Saban teams losing to Vanderbilt or losing to, like, Oklahoma teams that really had no business hanging with them. You know, it's so – I'm going to need to see on the field these teams like just be ready to go week by week, every single week. And yeah, I mean, that's the main question, and it's not going to get solved during camp. It's not going to get solved. It might not get solved for a few games, but you know, that's the thing I need to most see improvement in.
Mm-hmm. And it'll start right out the gate, Matt, with the trip to Florida State. How much pressure does DeBoer face? Because I would assume, I think Alabama's already installed as like a 10-point favorite, something like that. I mean, God forbid Alabama loses that game. He may not survive to see the end of the regular season.
Yeah. Boy, you want to be in an uncomfortable position. Be the coach who loses that game. But yeah, I mean, for DeBoer, it's a Florida State team that really should not be able to hang with you. It's the other guy who was supposed to be the finalist for the Alabama job when Kalen got it. That's going to be a huge game. Obviously, not a fun environment to go to, Florida State. You know, it's going to be August 30th, so conservatively, it'll be 1,000 degrees in Tallahassee. So just going to – yeah, it's a game that I don't know if he gets a whole lot of credit for winning it, but, like, you damn sure better not lose that one.
All right, Matt, I really appreciate your time. One more question. In any sense, do you think this could be maybe like the dream scenario for Alabama, and one where they may not experience it, you know, for the next 10 years? If, let's say, they have a breakout year. And what I mean is, you know, you talk to people, who's going to win the SEC, who's going to make the college football playoff. Alabama's certainly in the conversation, but I don't think anybody is sitting here saying, oh, it's Alabama's the team to beat. This is one of the few times that Alabama is perhaps underrated heading into a season. Do you think that could serve this team well?
Yeah, I think so. And man, you're right. Like, I probably, the last time Alabama stuck up on anybody was, I don't know, I was 11 years old in 2008. So probably then. But yes, I think I think it could serve them well, at least for a little bit, because let Alabama roll off, you know, 5 wins in a row or whatever, beat Georgia in that game, and you're not sneaking up on anybody the rest of the season. You're still Alabama. So who knows how long it'll last, but yeah, it could be a cool thing for a little bit.
All right, Matt Stahl, AL.com. Before you go, can you tell my audience how to follow you and how to read all your work over at AL.com?
Sure. I'm on whatever we're calling Twitter these days, and Blue Sky, Matt Stahl 97. Not on there as much as I used to be. But, yeah, and all the work, you can find it, AL.com. Address is in the name.
All right, Matt, thank you so much, man. And let me know, man, if you ever need anything from me, I'm always eager to return a favor.
All right, thanks for having me.
Enjoy your time down in Hoover, man. Don't drink too many beers.
All right.